We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Anyone else find it a little bit weird that the protesters want a limitless flood of free-flowing illegals into the United States but thought nothing of blocking your drive in downtown Buffalo? Just saying. It is 8 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. Your message to the protesters, your message to ICE, and you think they're really concentration camps, the ICE facilities, really concentration camps? And it is a source of wonderment to me that right after that crazy congresswoman made her comments about the concentration camp facilities that ICE operates, there were so many Holocaust survivors who came out expressing their disdain for such distasteful comments, and those comments are almost impossible to find now online. All of the people who came out to say, we find Congresswoman Cortez's statements to be vile, can't find them. But when you do a search for Holocaust survivors and ICE, now it makes it look as though every Holocaust survivor thinks that the facilities that are operated by ICE are concentration camps. And we wonder why the White House called a summit today on the social media companies. I think they ought to have a summit on the internet in general. Whoever's running that thing, I don't think they like us very much. Let's get back to the calls. Here is Paul in Snyder. Paul.
Afternoon, Tom.
Sir.
First thing I'd like to say to the demonstrators is I'd like to ask them, what does illegal immigration or invasion of our country have to do with Nazi concentration camps? And then answering my own question.
Well, I guess I can answer that. They see an equivalency between the concentration camps operated by the Nazis and what we are doing now under the auspices of ICE and the ICE facilities. And they're really big, by the way, in pointing out the cages in which people are kept. But they had nothing to say. This is selective outrage at its finest. They had nothing to say about those cages being deployed on the watch of St. Barack Obama.
Right. That's a good point. And
they were paid for in fiscal year 2015.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that it's all twisted around to make it look like it's the current administration that's making this be some kind of a thing. So
right, keep in mind, it's the current administration that is operating concentration camps, but the stock market record today, that is a direct result of the policies of Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how these people think. It's twisted. It is sick beyond words.
That's absolutely. And so, I mean, you know, it's obviously this is all just political. And then that, I'd like to say to ICE is go get them. And how many illegal invaders should we let in? Zero. And I found it interesting that the protesters had zero cooperation. Some of them had to be arrested, and they wouldn't say who was leading the demonstration. So,
We have it right on our website. Rachel Ablow, A-B-L-O-W. Hope I'm saying her name correctly, because it would be awfully embarrassing under the circumstances if I didn't.
Okay, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Okay.
She's one of the organizers, identified as such on our website anyway.
Okay. Well, then, okay, Tom, thank you for taking the call.
All right, thank you. But nobody wanted to claim responsibility for the demonstration, according to Buffalo Police, when the demonstration was actually going on. And I think in the future, you know, that's a question I'll put out to you. In the future, should Buffalo Police allow these kinds of demonstrations which are being done without a permit? And if they allow these kind of demonstrations to be done without permits, then why should any of us have to get a permit to demonstrate? Why should a conservative group have to get a permit to to demonstrate. As long as we behave ourselves and as long as we're not confrontational or violent with anybody, including police, is that okay then? Why would anybody want to pay a permit fee to demonstrate in Buffalo if the policy is to look the other way as long as you behave yourself? Here is Bill in Eden. Bill.
Well, Tom, wasn't this just perfect? We had an undocumented protest for so-called undocumented aliens.
Indeed.
So I looked a little bit on this to see, you know, what the signs were that some of these people had. I think you mentioned one. Some other signs said things like reunite families now and close the camps.
I agree. Families should be reunited right now in their countries of origin, and the camps should be closed, and massive deportation should begin.
Or perhaps, like someone had suggested before, if you have a cruise ship off the coast that you could deport all those people to, maybe something that Epstein or some of those other powerful and influential money kind of people could fund would be a good thing.
Well, and speaking of cruise ships, I love the argument that people are dying in ICE facilities. Well, you know what? People die on cruise ships, and I know that because the last one I took, somebody died right before we took off, and that's why we couldn't take off right away.
I think people would die trying to come up almost 2,000 miles through Mexico. How can you even do that if you kind of...
If you walk 2,000 miles cross-country with a one-year-old child on your back, you'd probably be arrested for child endangerment.
Exactly. I was going to make that point, too. You'd read my mind. But isn't, like, the length of Mexico roughly like the length of four Floridas from, you know, tip to tip from the longest point? They have to be bussed up and somehow and facilitated and given food and things like that. So we need to follow the money and see who is, you know, paying them for this kind of a thing. I also found...
So you're a big Catholic Church guy. What do you think of the Catholic Church's involvement in this?
I need to, like, look into that a little bit more so that I'm, you know, more up to date on exactly what they're doing.
But yeah, Savage was talking about that the other night.
I would think maybe they're taking, getting funding from this kind of a thing. And but I have to really, like I said, check into that. But I noticed also in this other article from Channel 4, they were saying that members of the Buffalo chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace and Justice for Migrant Families Western New York and the New York Immigration Coalition were in the group of protesters, and they're calling on Senator Charles Schumer to take action, according to that article.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because Israel happens to have a network of border security fences and other devices to make sure that its country is secure. Mm-hmm. And there's an issue if the United States can't do the same. What, every time a country wants to guard its borders, are we to think of that country as Nazi? And isn't it a little bit weird to think that Israel, of all places, would have such incredible border security?
Absolutely. And I don't know if you ever used the search engine DuckDuckGo. It's almost like DuckDuckGoose, but just DuckDuckGo, because Google seems to be...
I'm worried about typos if I do that.
Google seems to be sort of editing the way the things that people see.
Oh, it absolutely is.
So I guess, like you said, that meeting that they're having in Washington today.
Yeah, that's on the social media platforms. And I'm thinking about if I can find a decent social media platform, I would love to take the Bowerly and Bellavia page and move it off of Facebook and move it onto another site.
I think there's something called Trump Chat. I don't know if you've seen that at all. It's an alternate to Twitter.
Well, I don't want it to be like on a Trump page, or I just want it to be a social media outlet other than Facebook. But as far as media scrubbing and media filtering results, absolutely. That's not even conjecture. It's not even theory. It's proven.
I'm wondering why they had the protest there. Why on Delaware near Chippewa, of all places?
Well, it's right in the heart of the federal district, and I believe isn't the ICE building right there?
Yeah. And why don't they bring attention...
Or they just like good coffee. I'm one of those.
Why don't they bring attention to things like homeless veterans or homeless citizens living in tents in downtown Los Angeles or people living in their cars around the street in San Francisco?
Because these people are useful idiots, and what they might or might not understand is they're being used by people who have every interest in making sure this country is flooded with illegals who, at some point, when they will end up voting, they're going to vote Democrat. It is an attempt to totally put this nation under the control of one political party by virtue of swelling the population with likely Democrat voters. This is a big power grab. If nothing else, it is a power grab. These people don't even know they're being used. And they use these incredibly absurd examples comparing the United States ICE people with the Nazis. Yeah. Now, when's the last time somebody was forced to carry concrete blocks up a hill like they did at Mauthausen at an ice facility? It doesn't happen.
This thought crossed my mind. If this kind of thing is happening now when you have President Trump in a Republican administration in power, what do you think would be happening if it was the other way around?
I don't know. I'm disappointed in President Trump for not deporting these people.
Well, maybe he hasn't done it yet. I mean, I thought I heard on...
No, he was supposed to.
I thought...
He said he was gonna.
That's supposed to happen this Sunday. That deportation...
I've been hearing about this. It just keeps getting put off and put off and put off.
Well, wasn't he giving them a couple of weeks to come to the table?
Which was stupid anyway. Why do you tell people that you're going to be evicting them? You just evict them. You don't tell them. You don't threaten to do it. You do it.
Remember when we had the protest about the whatever they called it down at Niagara Square where people were living in tents and then eventually the city got rid of them?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something similar. When the city did that, they just came in and got...
That was the Occupy protest.
Yeah, like making people pay their fair share and all those kinds of things. I'm surprised we didn't see people from some kind of Protesters Lives Matter. Or maybe we'll be seeing those coming up in a few days.
Protesters? Well, I'm curious to find out what exactly is going to be happening. And if anybody has any information on this, I would like to know about it. Supposedly, there's a protest planned for 5 o'clock in downtown Buffalo, but that's all that information I have. And that was from the news conference that was held by the Buffalo police just a short while ago.
You know what I kind of remember last year at the Taste of Buffalo was...
The pierogies?
Pens to come by walking through with his little entourage.
Schumer?
Do you think that you're putting two and two together where something is going to happen with that somehow maybe? Or?
Right. Did you say Schumer because we overlapped?
Yeah, I did say Schumer.
Well, what would you expect to happen when Schumer comes to town other than if there's a microphone, please stay out of Chuck Schumer's way for your own safety?
Again, you're reading my mind. You know, if there's a microphone, there he is. But he's going to probably, maybe they'll try to, you know, bring this up to him there. Hopefully it wouldn't affect the festival or anything.
Well, but, and here's another fact, another point that I'd like to make is, you know, there's so many things I would love to protest. I would love to demonstrate. And, you know, I would love to have the life of somebody who can just take 3 hours on a July day and do nothing but protest for what they believe. I couldn't do it. Going to work. Most of the people listening to this show can't do it because they got to work.
Tom, I think you're onto something because do you remember when we were like in eighth grade and studying the United States and what it takes to change the Constitution and how you need to have so many states in order to change amendments and such? If you bring people in that really don't have a care of what the, you know, our current country, how it was founded, isn't that the way that you'd begin to do that if you could manipulate them along with the useful tools also?
If I was trying to destroy America, I would do exactly what is happening right now.
Perfect, perfect point.
If I was trying to destroy this country, this is exactly how I would do it.
And I think I remember also when David was saying about when he was there of how you want to say stay here to fight if you're like the kind of person that wants American exceptionalism to be, you know, kept in, yeah, as we have had it, instead of just like jumping ship and leaving New York State and such. We need people like voices like you and other people who call in that me that love the country that want to sort of maybe we could have our own little kind of, you know, actually what would the best thing would be to have one of these protesters leaders to actually come on the show with you so that you could ask them questions and have them explain their point of view.
Yeah, that'd go nowhere fast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
83 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So all hell could have broken out earlier this afternoon, but did not break out this afternoon. Downtown Buffalo, a protest against our country's immigration officers and ICE and the detention facilities that house people who were not invited to come here, but they showed up anyway. Then they wonder why they end up in a detention facility, and then they bitch about the conditions. And I just think, you know, if I were to break into somebody else's country, I don't know that I'd be doing a lot of complaining about the facilities I was housed in because I consciously broke the law. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And if I believed in the free flow of human beings, I don't know that I'd really want to block my neighbor's path to work or recreating or doing whatever they have to do downtown. So what happened was there was this protest, and things started to get a little bit awkward and a little bit, shall we say, unruly. Because the demonstrators started getting into the street. They refused to get out of the street, and accordingly, they were arrested. We also found out during the Buffalo Police news conference, and we're going to replay that in just a little bit so you have the police overview of what happened today. the people did not get out of the intersection, and they were arrested. And again, they're supposed to be, and I'd like some more information on this, if you can help us out, want to find out where the 5 o'clock protest is supposed to be. And I would encourage the Buffalo police to stop that protest before it starts, because it's not fair that some groups... What, if you show up with 100 people, they're not going to tell you to disperse because it's an unlawful assembly? You're supposed to have a permit when you do a protest in Buffalo. I mean, how many times are they going to look the other way? I think they've had their one. And from this point forward, I think the city, again, why would I say such a thing? Because if you are supposed to have permits to protest and you're not getting permits to protest, that is a breeding ground for anarchy. And what, do you want every group to just pop up here and there? The reason you have permits is so that law enforcement can plan for contingencies. So you are working with the police. It doesn't mean the police are going to subvert your message. It doesn't mean that they're going to do anything to water down your message. But when you have a group of people, and a big group of people, relatively, that is going to be doing a protest, the city has got to take the adequate precautions for that. So they want you to get a permit. They want to know what's going to be happening, where it's going to be happening, what it is all about. They want to know if there's any potential for violence. They want to know what the issues are. Not that they're going to debate them, but you know, there's a big difference between, let's say, a protest for housing for veterans and a protest telling ICE officers to shut their jobs because they're to quit their jobs because there's nothing but a bunch of Nazis. All right, we need to break. Our phone number on WBEN, your message for these protesters and your message for ICE. And we're heading into a part of the show where we actually have uninterrupted time for your telephone calls right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, your thoughts on the anti-ICE, because they operate concentration camps protest in downtown Buffalo today. A bunch of a handful of arrests were made by Buffalo police. Look, I want to thank ICE for the work you guys are doing at the border. The diseases, the viruses, the microbes, if nothing else, to which you are exposed, present to you a constant health hazard. Dangerous work in the desert, dangerous work in the facilities. And if it wasn't for ICE, I can't imagine what this country would be like. And as it is, I don't think we have enough. I think one of the answers is more ICE, not less ICE. And as far as the detention centers are concerned, I got to tell you, if you're just joining us, I agree with the protesters. I think the detention centers ought to be closed down, and I think the people in them should be deported. I think people who are here in the United States illegally ought to be sent back to the countries from which they came. If you're here illegally, you're here illegally. And this idea that we owe a damned thing to people who are here illegally is absolutely ludicrous. We don't owe them nothing. They've got no skin in the game. They're here illegally. They didn't follow the rules. You know how upset you get when you're standing in an amusement park? If I'm talking low, it's because I bit my tongue. God, I hate that. Yeah, it's just in time for the 4 o'clock hour. I bit into something and the teeth slipped and went right onto the bottom of the tongue. It's not even the tip of the tongue. It's the bottom of the tongue. So every word that involves the bending of the tongue, every word an adventure here right now on WBEN. But the long and the short of it is, can we just, oh, yeah, I said before, earlier to, I think, Bill in Eden, that, you know, if you wanted to destroy America, what would you really do differently? I mean, how can you have a country, how can you have a nation, unless you have a clear demarcation area? This is ours, this is yours. Good fences make good neighbors, along those lines. And I'm going to get into this in just a few minutes, but exactly... At what point, if we don't have a crisis right now with the illegal invasion of America, give me a number. At what point does this become a problem? How many people can the United States of America really absorb into the fold without going broke itself? Now, we don't even have to forget about even thinking right now about the societal changes. How about the dollars involved, the bottom line? And what these people are going to cost the system, and how much more money in taxes we are going to have to pay to support people who came here without any legal authority to do it. I mean, what we have going on right now is absolute chaos. And it's really disturbing because you're not talking about the occasional straggler or a bunch of stragglers crossing the border. I mean, you still are. But the biggest issue right now, these organized caravans of people who are specifically coming to the north to get into the United States. I mean, they're not happening by happenstance. They don't. You can't just put thousands of people together like that. There is organization behind it. There is strength behind it. There is money behind it. Somebody other than Senator what's-his-name is helping these people. And if you are helping somebody to break our laws, isn't there a word for that? Isn't there something involved in that that might put you on the radar of authorities if you're helping people break the laws? And it's really tragic, too, because the people who are coming in and who are getting here illegally are putting themselves and their children, by the way, deliberately at great risk. So getting back to this idea of planning to destroy America, it was way back. It was over 10 years ago that the governor of Colorado, Richard Lamb, did a piece called My Plan to Destroy America. And it is definitely worth revisiting, especially on a day like today. Back then, and we're talking about just over 13 years ago, Richard Lamb wrote the following. I have a plan, a secret plan, to destroy America. If you believe, as many do, that America is too smug, too white bread, too self-satisfied, too rich, then let's destroy America. And it's not that hard to do. History shows that nations are more fragile than their citizens think. Amen to that. No nation in history has survived the ravages of time. Arnold Toynbee observed that all great civilizations rise and they all fall, and that an autopsy of history would show that all great nations commit suicide. Say that again. Arnold Toynbee observed that all great civilizations rise and they all fall, and that an autopsy of history would show that all great nations commit suicide. So here is my plan. Number one, we must first make America a bilingual, bicultural country. History shows that no nation can survive the tension, conflict, and antagonism of two competing languages and cultures. It is a blessing for an individual to be bilingual. It is a curse for a society to be bilingual. Scholar Seymour Martin Lipset put it this way: the histories of bilingual and bicultural societies that do not assimilate are histories of turmoil, tension, and tragedy. This is how you destroy America if you're just joining us. Number two, I would then invent multiculturalism and encourage immigrants to maintain their own culture. I would make it an article of belief that all cultures are equal, there are no cultural differences that are important, and the black and Hispanic dropout rate is only due to prejudice and discrimination by the majority. Every other explanation is out of bounds. Number three, in Richard Lamb's procedure of how to destroy America that he wrote 13 years ago, we can make the United States a Hispanic Quebec without much effort. The key is to celebrate diversity rather than unity. As Benjamin Schwartz said in the Atlantic Monthly, the apparent success of our own multi-ethnic and multicultural experiment might have been achieved not by tolerance, but by hegemony. Without the dominance that once dictated ethnocentrically what it meant to be an American, we are left with only tolerance and pluralism to hold us together. Number four, how to destroy America. I would encourage all immigrants to keep their own language and culture. I'd replace the melting pot metaphor with the salad bowl metaphor. I would make our fastest growing demographic group the least educated. I would add a second underclass, unassimilated, undereducated, and antagonistic to our population. Number five, I'd get the big foundations and big business to give these efforts lots of money. I'd invest in ethnic identity. I'd establish the cult of victimology. I'd start a grievance industry blaming all minority failure on the majority population. Number six, I would establish dual citizenship and promote divided loyalties. I would celebrate diversity. It stresses differences rather than commonalities. Diverse people worldwide are mostly engaged in hating each other when they're not killing each other. How to Destroy America. A diverse, peaceful, or stable society is against most historical precedent. People undervalue the unity it takes to keep a nation together, and we can take advantage of this myopia. Dorff's World History tells us the ancient Greeks believed they belonged to the same race, they possessed a common language and literature, and worshipped the same gods. All Greece took part in the Olympic Games in honor of Zeus, venerated the shrine of Apollo at Delphi. A common enemy, Persia, threatened their liberty, yet all of these bonds together were not strong enough to overcome two factors, local patriotism and geographical conditions that nurtured political divisions. Number 7, how to destroy America. I would place all these subjects off limit and make them taboo to talk about. I'd find a word similar to heretic in the 16th century that stopped discussion and paralyzed thinking. Words like racist and xenophobe halt argument and conversation. I would next make it impossible to enforce our immigration laws. I would develop a mantra. Because immigration has been good for America, it must always be good. Lastly, I would censor Victor Davis Hanson's book, Mexifornia. The book is dangerous. It exposes my plan to destroy America. This guy is onto my plan. And that is Richard Lamb, who is a former three-term Democrat governor of Colorado. You might have seen it before on the internet, if it's still going around. And the interesting thing is he wrote this piece back in 2006. Back in April of 2006 is when it first appeared. And it's pretty chilling to think about how things have played out just in the past 13 years and kind of wonder what the next 13 years are going to be like for the United States of America. So anyway, today we had the protest in downtown Buffalo, and the Buffalo police, they had a news conference about the arrests and about the protest in general, and I think it's all pretty self-explanatory, so let's let it roll.
I'm here with Captain Jeff Rinaldo, the Chief of Staff of Buffalo Police Commissioner Byron Lockwood. We're here to give you an update on a protest that took place this afternoon in downtown Buffalo. The protest was in opposition to U.S. migrant detention facilities in our country. The protest was peaceful, but it was illegal. The police response to the protests was appropriate. Oftentimes when protesters organize protest activities in the city, they work with the Buffalo Police Department to ensure the safety of protesters, the safety of members of the community, and the free flow of commerce in our city. This did not occur in this particular instance. And with any protest activity going forward, we would request that protesters contact the Buffalo Police Department. In the city of Buffalo, we highly respect people's freedom of speech, and we will facilitate that freedom of speech when the police department is called. And again, make sure that protest activities are able to be done in a way that is safe to protesters, members of the community, and does not interrupt the flow of commerce in our city. There were arrests made because this was an illegal activity. Now I will turn things over to Captain Jeff Rinaldo, who will give you specific details on the police response to this protest activity in downtown Buffalo this afternoon that occurred at Delaware Avenue and Chippewa in the city of Buffalo. Captain?
Thank you, Mayor. So as the mayor said, at approximately noon today, we received 911 calls of a protest forming at the corner of Delaware and Chippewa. Within about a half hour, protesters decided to enter the middle of the intersection and begin blocking traffic. So out of an abundance of concern for not only their safety, but the motoring public and other citizens, we made the decision to close the intersection of Delaware and Chippewa to all vehicular traffic. We attempted to speak to an organizer for the event. Nobody would lay claim to being in charge of the event. We attempted to ascertain how long they planned on being there. Again, we received zero cooperation in terms of anybody willing to speak as a leader of the organization. We requested that they remove themselves out of the street. They refused that request. There were multiple people there. Numbers were upwards of about 150 people. And eventually, in addition to the nine people that decided to lay down in the middle of the street, approximately another 100 or so began walking in the crosswalk, blocking traffic. It was at that time, in consultation with the police commissioner, that a decision was made to order those protesters out of the street. That's a lawful order that can be given once a protest of this size and nature becomes considered illegal.
And we'll pick up on the news conference by Buffalo Police coming up here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Detention centers operated by ICE. Well, let's hear more from Captain Rinaldo and the Buffalo Police Department on the arrests at today's protest, which was done, by the way, without a permit.
It was broadcast multiple times, and eventually officers from our emergency response team did go into the intersection and begin arresting those protesters. In total, we had nine arrests. Those charges include disorderly conduct, obstructing governmental administration, as well as an unlawful assembly. Those people are currently being processed at our central booking facility as we speak, and the protest from that point was diminished and things returned to normal at that intersection.
Did they have a permit?
There was no permit on file for this protest that we are aware of.
If that's the case, why would it be allowed to continue so long, and why would the busy weekday, workday, and the street was closed down?
Well, there's a number of variables that go into our decision to use force to end a protest. Number one, whether or not the protest is peaceful. In this particular case, other than having loud drums and loudspeakers, it was peaceful in the fact that it was not violent, nobody was throwing things, nobody was attempting to engage in riotous behavior. Secondly, we look at resources. Do we have enough officers there? What will be the response to attempting to end this, and what is the best game plan to go on? So while I understand it's very frustrating to businesses and other people who are affected by this, I would say that it was unfortunately the protesters who are to blame for this, because as the mayor said, there's a multiple numbers of protests and demonstrations that happen in the city every month, and 99% of the time they organize with the police department. We are aware of what they want to do, and we actually help them accomplish their mission. But when those protesters decided to stomp on the rights of their fellow community members, then that's when a decision was made to go in, make these arrests, and get the streets back open.
They had said, they sent out a news release saying they planned to be there till 1:30. Didn't say anything about sitting down in the middle of the street. Your officers moved in at 2:36. It seems like you gave them a certain amount of time to do what they had to do, and then you made the decision, a little difficult hearing you, but you made the decision at that point to move in. Why?
Well, again, as you said, there was some information that was garnered that this was going to last to 1:30. At approximately 1:15, the decision was made to let's see if they abide by what we're being told from different sources. Clearly, they didn't. So at that point, we formalized a plan together to go in. And again, number one concern is we don't want to see any members of the public hurt by our going in and breaking up these protests. Number two, I don't want any of our officers hurt in going and breaking up a protest. So it's not a rush to judgment. It's treated as a tactical situation. All of our officers have been trained in field force operations.
And we'll have more from the Buffalo Police Department news conference, I think, coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.